Welcome to the King James Bible Seminary. My name is Myron Boffman, and I'll be your instructor today in the Word of the Lord. This is the Old Testament poetry class, and we're in the Book of Psalms. The Book of Psalms, and that's about the middle of your Bible, if you're not familiar with it. We have progressed to Psalm 121 in our studies. So if you'd be so kind as to turn to Psalm 121, 121, we'll get started with today's lesson, which is entitled, Looking for Help. Looking for Help. And while we are turning in our Bibles to the proper page, we'd like to welcome each and every one of you. We are thankful that you're here, and each one of us pray for each other, and we are hoping that this time together will be profitable for your study and an enrichment time in the Word of the Lord, that we might honor the Lord Jesus and serve Him better, and may He and He alone be glorified. Psalm 121. Okay, let's see here. I'll read it aloud to you, and then we'll proceed to the lesson. And afterwards, if there's any questions, we'll answer the questions after the prayer, final prayer. let's get started. Quote, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore. End quote. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His everlasting Word. Now this magnificent psalm asks us, this psalm asks us to ask ourselves, ultimately, where do we get our help? Where do we look? Now the simple answer is, look up. It is God who sends us help from on high. The hills and high mountains are given here as the poet's way of symbolically pointing up to heaven. Our hope of help comes from there. Sometimes we look in many directions for help, depending on the need. Sometimes it's a doctor or a lawyer or a minister or an educator, somebody that can give us advice, a friend or two that may be turned to. But before turning there, one is wise to turn to God first. Excuse me. Seek Him that He may guide you to the right kind of help. We don't need to get sidetracked and wasting our time going to people who can't help us. We don't need to pick dead men's bones for help if it can be avoided. Now, the dead men's bones that I've just mentioned is a reference to lost people who experts in their field, I suppose, or could be, but they're dead spiritually. In other words, we should seek someone who knows the Lord for help first, if possible, if available. Now, the Christian helper is alive by the Holy Spirit and should have the internal voice of God giving guidance. But a lost person will not have this guidance. A good, experienced person with a good, proven reputation, even if lost, should be seriously considered at times. This psalm does not call on us to abandon any human help, just as the Israelites didn't go into battle single-handedly all by themselves, but even Gibeon had his 300 soldiers to assist in the victory. We don't need to be shy about asking and seeking help when needed. A good friend is one who is there indeed when there is a need. The psalmist plainly states that we are to confidently look to the Maker of heaven and earth for our help first. We put God first. He is always to be first in our lives and decisions. After all, He is powerful and wise enough to create the heavens and the earth. So therefore, He is wise enough and powerful enough to handle our problems also. And He is, because of this, He can grant us guidance and wisdom. As it says in the book of James, ask for wisdom. Now, quote, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, means He will not permit you to be moved off your foundations of life by outside forces, great as they may seem at times, for greater is He in us than in the world. Now, this means we are to ultimately trust His power to keep us above all things. So it is His power that ultimately will get us through. That we are to trust. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. So the next line gives further assurance of our safekeeping. The idea of God not sleeping was dramatically demonstrated by Elijah the prophet back in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 27. So when Elijah mocked the priests of the false god, Baal, he suggested that their God didn't answer their prayers because he was sleeping. 1 Kings 18:27, quote, "And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them," that is, Baal's priests, "and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking or pursuing, or he is in a journey, peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked." End quote. So we see that God, that is the real God, our God, doesn't sleep or isn't distracted. He is all present, all knowing, as well as all wise. He knows our innermost needs since He knows our hearts. He created us. No one will ever catch God snoring because He never sleeps. Again, those who have prayed and are still waiting, what of the delay? Why does it seem like it takes so long for God to answer prayer? Sometimes it seems like He never answers our prayer. The God who hears and understands our inner thoughts isn't under any constraint to immediately answer anything. But even when He does, the answer can be delayed, as seen in Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 through 14. Let's take a look at that. Daniel chapter 12, verses 12 through 14. Quote, "Then said he," now that "he" there is a heavenly messenger. "Then said he unto me," the "me" there is of course Daniel. "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words," for or because of thy words. "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia," which I interpret to mean the devil or one of the prince of the powers of the air. "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael apparently is referring to what is his title, I believe, would be considered an archangel. "But lo, Michael," and he is very much associated with Israel, "one of the chief priests came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand." Stop right there. As we see here, our answers can be delayed somewhat by the opposition, but not forever. We will have our prayers answered. Usually, it's yes or no. So we need patience. Our patience will assist our faith. The word Israel in our verse doesn't just refer to a national Israel, but rather the truly faithful believers in God, God Almighty. As seen elsewhere, one doesn't have to be an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, to be either part of the family of God or to be heard of Him. One must keep in mind that Psalm 66 verse 18 remains as viable in all present and future cases. Psalm 66 verse 18 says, quote, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me," end quote. Reason why prayers are not answered. Iniquity is, of course, sin, and that which isn't right. Book of James says we ask amiss. Sin, there is an internal consciousness of doing something wrong. It's the law written in people's hearts. So even if somebody is not familiar with the Bible and Word of God, they have a sense of right and wrong built into them. All right. So what we're saying here is most people can recognize what is right and wrong, though not always. It does no good to excuse it either way, because the problem of sin just won't go away all by itself. So if taken to heaven today, let's ask this question. If taken to heaven today, if today was your last day on earth, what will you take there in your heart? Again, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Quote, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all, underline that, unrighteousness. Unquote. So we see in this verse, we need not worry if all our sins are confessed. He has that covered, as it states. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness with our confession. Now, there are those people who worry about whether they've missed something off of their personal list of committed sins. They sit down and write with a sheet of paper and pencil and write them down and confess them off. And then they wonder if they missed something. So we're telling you, don't worry about that. Because he takes care of all of our sins. He doesn't need our list. He has infinite knowledge that is much more complete than anyone here on earth, and that knowledge is better than anything we can come up with. So we're bound to have forgotten something, and that will not damn your soul to hell, because as 1 John 1:9 says, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And as the book of Jude states, there toward the end, he is able to present us faultless. So do not doubt the power of God. His blood covers it all like a blanket. Rest assured, there are no holes in the blanket. The phrase about the sun and the moon will not smite us doesn't literally refer to the heat of the sun or the beams of the moon being harmful, but is symbolic, poetic language. We are not immune to heat stroke or heat exhaustion and things like that, dehydration, but God's spiritual protection is immutable and forever. Notice it refers to the soul. So we are speaking of the inner person, the soul, the real you. He will protect the real you. So we're looking at God's spiritual protection as being immutable and forever. This is intended to reassure us that harm will not come upon us and will be deflected from us all the time, both day and night. As Paul states, quote, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, 38 and 39. Let's look at verse 7. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Here is plainly stated and is irrefutable. God preserves the saints eternally. The saints persevere. The saints are secure. Now, this does not mean they are invincible, as some radicals erroneously have stated in the past, who raised armies supposedly crusading for Christ. Please do not be misled. The flesh can fail you in that regard. This verse does state that God preserves us from the attacks of the devil and all the evil that he can muster against us. That is the psalmist's statement of fact that he wants to press upon the readers and hearers of his beautiful verse. We are to be assured that our souls are safe under God's loving care. This powerful thought is a solid rock foundation for our faith to rest upon. That rock is not going to move. Verse 8. Quote, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. This points to day-to-day living. He is with us no matter where we go. Now, some Muslims have a strange idea that God cannot see certain places or certain areas. There's actually islands, I would call similar to Epstein's Island, and isolated spots that they think they are, if they go there, they're invisible to God. And some go there to sin. So God perhaps is not permitted in a bathroom for privacy, nor the bedroom. Not all Muslims believe this, so it is not a codified principle as far as I know. This is, of course, contrary to biblical truth, as the psalmist in Psalm 139, verse 7 says, quote, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? The psalmist goes on and answers that question in the following verses. Quote, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Goes on and says, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. End quote. Then, this idea also points to our coming in and going out of this world. God was there at our birth and will be with us at our death. We will go on from here in this life to either glory or ignominious disgrace and punishment. Even then, quote, if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there, end quote. Psalm 139, verse 8. Remember in this regard, Remember in this regard the unhappy thought that, well, it can be reassuring, but God does not burn those he loves. God does not burn those he loves. We who have come to Christ dwell in his love and mercy and need not fear death and what follows. Of course, if you believe that there isn't anything that follows death, no judgment or life in the hereafter, then, sadly, you are in for a rude awakening when that does arrive. Unbelief does not change a thing in eternity. And you will be there to face the consequences of your cherished unbelief, which is always held in a false pride of intellectual self-deceit. It is up to each person to obey the gospel call to repent and believe. No one will do that for you. So the question remains, where do you look for help? You look for your help the same place you look for your salvation. Your first response is to look to God. Many people panic and worry endlessly, however. They only come to God as a last resort or desperate plea. He is their last choice. As the saying goes, quote, it just may be too little and too late. That doesn't mean God won't have mercy and hear your cries. But the truth of the matter is, if God is important in trying times, times of desperation, confusion, and uncertainty, then he should be important other times as well. So consider what your priorities are. You can live your life and make it what you will. God gives you the freedom to do that. But what of the mess you leave behind? And you know you do. If you need help in life, and we all do, look to God and call upon Him. There's a lot to consider here in this psalm. Let's close this lesson with a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we come to Thee, thank Thee for Your mercy and love. We thank Thee that You've made this known to us. Help each hearer to turn to Thee and repent of their sins and accept Thee as the only solution to their lives. We pray now that You'll help our unbelief. We pray that You will cause each one to trust Thee more and more each day and look to Thee first for help, both in daily lives as well as in eternal life. Pray for all of our requests we have. We ask now that You'll give us wisdom and understanding as we seek to serve Thee. Help us, Lord, to honor and glorify Thee and give Thee praise. We ask for our nation that it will turn from its sin, its wickedness, and turn to Thee. We ask for our leaders that You'll save them and shine Your light into their lives. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray also for the King James Bible Seminary, that You'll bless it and cause it to be used of thee. Bless each one who hears thy word through this lesson, that you use them and strengthen them and protect them as they seek to honor thee. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you. Any questions? Otherwise, you're dismissed.